misleading, so we won't be only talking about the Gashwara and the algebra. The real topic in itself is the conjecture that the Gautami Vikula and the algebra is isomorphic to the Gashwara and the algebra, where the degree is 3 or equal to 3. And our result, together with Anton Alexeyev and Anna Lachowska, is that the gradient is a suited component of depth 2 are isomorphic. So I'm going to define this depth filtration, both via the algebras, and explain to you that how we got to this proof. So first of all, we have a grading on GR2-1 and the Gashwara and the algebra that are given by the number of x and y's. And a filtration, which is what we will be mostly concerned with, by what is called depth, given by the minimal number of y's in a mu-word. Okay, so we will consider the gradient associated algebra with respect to this decrease in filtration. So the main protagonists of these talks are going to be GR2-1, the Gashwara and the algebra, the divergence co-cycle, and an injection from GR2-1 into KRP that was proved by Anton Alexeyev and Charles Orosian in 2008. Okay, so first of all, who are these guys? They're both subalgebras of the tangential derivations. So if you recall a bit the talk by Kuno and then the one by Florian, these derivations, so these are derivation on V2, meaning the free algebra on two variables, such that you have the values on the generator, so let's call them u. U of x is given by the bracket of x with a word, and same thing for y. So these are our derivation. GRT1 is, I won't recall all the equations, I'll just tell you these. When you talk about these derivations, instead of calling them u, I will generally give them by their leewords associated to the generators. So this one is given by 0 size, such that you have antisymmetry of psi, hexagon, and pentagon equation. What do we know about this Lie algebra? First of all, we know that there exist generators in every odd degree called the sigmas, sigma i's, what's called as sigma 2k plus 1. I won't give the formula for them, but what's important is that each of these generators is of depth 1, meaning it has at least one y in all of its monomials. The brackets on GRT1 is given by the ER bracket, and so when you take the bracket of two of these generators, this gives you an element of depth 2. Why do we care? Because using the injection into KRV, then we can get an element of depth 2 in KRV later. Yes. Now the Gashwara and the algebra. Not only are they tangential, but they are what we call special. I think it was defined as well on Sunday evening, meaning that if you take u of x plus u of y, you get 0. And the second condition is a divergence of condition. D of u must be equal to bar direction u. about that. I think the formula was mentioned already. An interesting subalgebra of Kharaki is given by this equal to zero, but this formula we're concerned about, it comes from a cohomology condition. This is actually the kernel of one differential. But if you want to link it to Florian's talk from on Sunday, it's not something I understand really well, but it's related to being a central element in the Goldman Lie algebra. So with respect to Goldman bracket. I think this look here and look on the board here. Okay. So the divergence, I'm not going to give you, there's an algebraic formula that we use in the proof, but just to give you an example, we would be only concerned with the relation of the form 0 and here in the word. So if I take an example, the divergence of this thing will be given by a trace of xy, where a trace are these cyclic words. So this is the main idea.
But maybe here you can say how xy comes from the...
Yes, you go into the associative the algebra, this is x minus yx, and you only keep the part ending in y. That's how you get this element here. Okay? So now the idea of the proof. As you see, so we have this filtration of GRT1. Given by the minimum number of y's inside. But in Kharaki, the problem is we have u in TR2, which is given by two u's. So it's hard to define the filtration because maybe it's not the same thing on A and B. So the first thing we need to do is modify slightly this definition of Kharaki to be able to put the same filtration. Then we have this injection from KRV, from GRT1 to KRV. So we want to get a lower bound on GRT, and then an upper bound, we're going to modify slightly our graded component to get an upper bound on the depth 2 graded component of Kashiwara variant. So the lower bound will be given using first this generator sigma to k plus 1s and the relations that we know happen in depth 2 in GRT1. And the up bound, after a few modifications, it will simply be related to computing the kernel of the divergence map. So the first thing we need to do, as I said, is modify this Kashiwara variant. So recall, it was just u equal a, b, integer 2, and u of x plus u of y is equal to 0. So we're going to put z equal to minus x minus y, and then because of this condition, z will get set to 0 by the derivation, and y equals y. So this is how you get this second Kashiwara variant, the algebra. So it will be given by elements 0, I. And here the other conditions, I want for them, there is still one trace condition given by the variance and some others, but we will weaken the conditions when we get to the graded associative component, so it doesn't really matter. One good thing is this is isomorphic to the previous Kashiwara Lie algebra, and it preserves the injection. So the injection from GRT1 the Cauchy-Warren prime is preserved. Now, when we take the gradient associated component, what we finally look into, the space we're going to have to take care of is going to be element 5 in Li 2 with depth 2, so minima at least 2 y's, quotiented by Zeus with at least 3 y's, such that, in fact, their divergence is 0. This is, in fact, the space we're going to try to compute the dimension of. Now, one good thing is the divergence preserves the degree. So we don't really have to look directly into this. We're going to get it degree by degree. So what it means, we're looking at a space Kn given by Li words into variables, such that psi can be written as a sum of y's, and here we can get all the psi's we're concerned with. Okay, now the question is, how do you compute the size of this thing? Well, we encoded it into, well, these are in one-to-one correspondence with polynomials, commutative ones. You can put this equals to u to the k and w to the n minus k, and you impose an antisymmetry relation, and you finally get that this space is, in fact, the space of polynomials in two variables subjected to two relations. And see how many times they appear in for each n. And so, as we discussed with Neil this morning, when trying to see what had happened in the double shuffle in the algebra, we discovered that Donzaghi at some point found some very similar functional equations on this one, but it was in two variables. I think the first one was the same, the second one was a bit different, but it led to D12 as well.
Second one is the shuffle, so when you do a change of variables, then it's precisely the shuffle for one. First one's the shuffle.
Okay, first one's the shuffle.
Then you're right.
So the dimension of Kn is equal to 0 when n is odd, and n is 6 when n is even. Yes. Okay. Now that is only an upper bound for our space of Kr d prime of the gradient density component of this two. And so we need to have a look at the lower bound. But so for the lower bound, we look at these brackets of sigma 2k plus 1, sigma 2l plus 1. And you first thing you want to know how many independent things you can find like this. But there are relations given by your and Kasharov in the country. You have that the space of the dimension of the space of this relation. How many of these you got? This is given by k minus 4 by 4. So, so what it gives you for the lower bound is finally this k minus 2 over 6. And here we might not be happy because I forgot to say how n relates to k in the first place. So remember, n was the degree of our polynomials, but our polynomials were given by, we had this a at x to the k at n minus k x of y. So the degree, total degree of the polynomial was only given by the sum of these two and did not take into account these two y's. So in fact, n equal k minus 2. So our upper bound and lower bound matched, and that's how we got it. I do not want to erase that actually. Remark is that originally what I was trying to do when we stumbled onto this was computing something else than the divergence called Q divergence, I'm going to define, and I was supposed to compute its kernel, and it was supposed to be empty as the kernel of divergence. When I computed it, it happened not to be empty at all, and that's how we got this result. The Q divergence, though, is another story. One takes we're going to consider L Q of finitive L root of unity. Instead of being just in the free Lie algebra with two variables, you're going to consider only Lie words of length divisible by L. Okay. The divergence we had before was with values in the trace space, which means simply cyclic words. Here, we're not going to have perfectly cyclic words, it's going to depend on Q. So the space Q trace 2 is given by, again, associative non-commutative words in XY quotients and by this time. So the relation is slightly different. If we want to have a look at, let's take an example with L equals 3, and we want to have a look at, so, here, 2, 3, it would be spanned by elements like, xq, and then if you want to have a look at, let's say, x square y, now if you rotate the elements, this gives you Q trace of x, y, x, Q square, Q trace of y, x square. So the factor you're going to get depends entirely on Q. And so the Q divergence is the same thing as divergence, but you land in this space. So why do we care about this Q divergence? Well, if you take...
It's a quotient as an algebra or as a vector space?
Vector space.
So, but when you write x square y is equal to x y x, so I assume that you're commuting x with y in the end, yes?
Sorry?
So how do you interpret the first equality then? So, x square y equals x y x. Then here I have commuted x with y as a, because x is a real world, yeah? But then also a left multiplier.
No, x and y are just the generators. So yeah. It's not, so yeah, I'm just taking the quotient of the associative of the loading the algebra. And so you just rotate one x, this gives you a first q factor. Keep the rotation on.
No, but that's like when you kind of usually to define cyclic words, you quotient by commutators.
Yeah.
And now instead of quotienting by commutators, you start quotienting by kind of in some sense a Q commutator.
Is it really by algebra? Yeah,
this
quotient.
This
quotient. Yeah. Yeah, but she said if it's A should be a V word. Yeah. You quotient only if A is V word, no?
Sorry, A
is
the associated algebra.
Okay.
How is it? Okay, so I could move on to why we care about such a Q-primitive algebra of unity, but one example that makes sense presently is if you take L equal 2 and Q equal minus 1, then this gives you a story in symmetric spaces. Because then the trace you get this what we call this super trace, SPR, and this one is given by minus one sign every time you rotate one element. And it can be related to the trace on symmetric spaces if you take and trace H minus trace G will relate to the super trace. And so the question was naturally, what happens if we try to have a look at the kernel of the Q divergence on the injection of GRT1. Well, the story began in a very similar way, and we got the proposition with the Q that is given by minus Q is an change. minus q p of v plus w n minus q minus 1. So that changed a lot, quite a lot of our equations, because we're not able to solve it in a similar way. We actually referred to u in the first place, and what we got is that this space is empty. And so this time the kernel of the q divergence is just zero, and we do not get a similar thing. So we don't quite know what the q divergence might be useful for, but super divergence has a meaning, and we hope to find meaning for this one as well. I think that's all I want to tell you.
Is q divergence a cocycle?
Yes, as well, yeah, sorry. And the proof is extremely similar to the one of divergence.
Question.
Depth 3, so could you
write
in
the equation?
In depth 3, we didn't write the equations.
No.
That's the divergence. Because when, well, I think it wasn't that pretty when we tried writing just this here and thing. It wasn't as pretty anymore. You had lots more way of getting elements of depth 3. And so we tried to do it in a different way using Leila's language, which seemed better suited. But I think Niels told me that it was done in 44DS in a similar way. And
yeah.
Couldn't find it. The group generated by the transformation wasn't finite, but they managed to find a way around it. And so I want to have a look at this.
There is a Japanese work of Okudan. Yeah, just the elementary means that they can prove the DS in depth 3.
My memory is that here for this KRV in depth 3, that Leila had some argument, or rather a rather easy argument in terms of this Ikal language. But again, I don't know, I cannot. But it's my impression that she showed me such an argument at one of the meetings. And then I think that depth 4 already was like some much more difficult and messy and didn't work, I think.
But after the work of the journalists, because in Bonchar of you, he computed depth 3, but very complicated means, so using the homology of SO3.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Japanese work simplified. Mm-hmm.